Well, we are in the book of Revelation, as you well know, because your life is being blessed every single week, isn't it? Yeah, and it's getting blessed. Why? Because you're doing some wonderful things? No, one of the reasons you're getting blessed is because Revelation 1:3 promises a blessing. If you read the words of this prophecy, you listen to the words of this prophecy read, you keep the words of this prophecy, you are going to be blessed. So God has every intention of blessing you. So here we are in Revelation chapter 14, and let's look at verse 1. Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask your blessing on it. We ask you to speak to us and give us insight in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Now let me remind you about the 144,000, because it may have been, well, it's been, you know, seven chapters since we read about those guys. So let me take you back to Revelation, the seventh chapter, the third verse, which says, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of God, our God, on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now you understand that this 144,000, 12 were from the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at Revelation 7, verse 5. Then of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Tribe of Gad, 12,000. Tribe of Asher, tribe of Naphtali, tribe of Manasseh, verse 6 tell us. Verse 7 tell us the tribe of Simeon, Levi, and Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, and Joseph, and Benjamin. 12,000 from each of those tribes were sealed, which equals 144,000. So if you hear people say, well, the 144,000 is really beep, 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 it's not really beep, 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 okay? It's Jewish people. So, and just for the record, you know, you hear a lot about the lost tribes of Israel. Guess what? They may be lost to people, but they're not lost to God. He seals 144,000 of them, 12,000 from each of the tribes. Okay? We also learned in chapter 12 that the 144,000 were caught up to heaven. Okay, look at verse 1 of Revelation chapter 12. "Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Remember, we recognize that from Joseph's dreams as being Israel. So Israel is represented here. "Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to devour," woman who was ready to give birth, "to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron." Here it is. "And her child was caught up to God and his throne." And that, of course, is the 144,000 that came forth out of Israel, and they were caught up to God and his throne. Now we see them standing on Mount Zion, which is referred to in Hebrews 12th chapter. Look at Hebrews 12:22. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Okay, so 144,000 caught up into heaven with God, and that's what we're seeing. Let's go back to Revelation 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, not just any random 144,000, but the 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." So we have the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth, taken from the earth, and they are singing a new song. And this is really interesting, because every time we've come across a song that is being sung, worship that is being expressed in heaven, we get the words. Okay? This song isn't ours, baby. This song is off limits. The only ones that can learn this song, the only ones who know this song, this is the song of the 144,000. And they are the only ones that can sing this song. We're not told the words. We're not told the theme. We're not told kind of the heart of what it was. We have no idea. And now in the next verse, we're given more details about the 144,000. So verse 4 tells us, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And we're told several things about the 144,000. First of all, they were not defiled with women. They have kept themselves free from immorality. The second thing we learn is they are virgins. They are unmarried, okay? They are untouched. They are the ones who follow the Lamb. So wherever the Lamb goes, you will always see the 144,000 with him at all times. Where he is, they are not far away. And they have been redeemed from among men. They have been purchased and really set free from the world's control. And they are the first fruits. Now, we've talked about first fruits before, and I told you the silly stories of my home, right? I bought a peach tree. I don't know one tree from another. And when it's a bare root tree, every tree looks alike to me. I planted it in the ground, and there were some blossoms that came out on the tree, and then some peaches that came on the tree. And understand, first fruits, whatever the first fruit looks like is what all the other fruit will look like. So when we talk about Jesus being the first fruits of the dead, the type of body that Jesus has after his resurrection, the abilities that he had, they're the same. He's the first fruits. That's the same type of body we're going to have. So when we read about those terms as far as first fruits, we say, okay, this is not the only fruit. You understand that when I got the first fruits off of my peach tree, that's not the only fruit that I'm ever going to get off my peach tree. It continues every year. In fact, there's so many peaches on one of the limbs they broke this week. And so, you know, when whatever that first fruit was is what all the other fruit are going to be, and it signifies there will be more fruit. So these are the first ones of Israel who are redeemed from the earth, the first ones of Israel that are really, given themselves totally over to God, but they're not the last. Because again, you know, Paul talks about in Romans how his heart longed for Israel, and he says, I know that one day all Israel will be saved. And that's taking place during the tribulation period. I mean, Israel really has their eyes open and really gets serious about calling upon God. So they are the first fruits. Their mouths are without deceit. So they don't speak out of both sides of their mouth, so to speak. They speak the truth of God all the time. And they are without fault. And again, that doesn't mean that they are perfect, but in God's presence, guess what? You make it. Okay, so those things you're struggling with right now, rest assured, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be struggling with those same things. When you get to heaven, you are complete. You are perfect. Wow, imagine having a perfect spouse. My wife is going to be so stinking happy. Okay? So again, doesn't mean they're sinless, but does mean that they have been sanctified. They have been forgiven and cleansed. And these descriptions remind me of something that Jesus taught in Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees who came to him testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, this is what I want you to hear, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept. So the disciples said, well, man, if that's the case, then it's better never to get married. And Jesus said, not everyone can receive that. There are those who from birth just have no desire to be married, okay? And then he said, and there are those that are touched by men that desire's taken away. And then there are those who make that conscious effort and say, I am going to give myself completely to God. Paul was a really good example of this, okay? Paul, you know, talked about how, you know, he was single and he said, in my single state, I am just able to serve the Lord without any distraction. And so when he gave advice about marriage, he said, you know, it's not a sin for anybody to marry. In fact, it's better to marry than to burn in lust. So, you know, each one has his own gift from God. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that there are some that are given this gift of celibacy, okay? And as we, you know, watch the news, we kind of learn, you know, not everybody that's celibate is really celibate. And but again, it's that gift from God, that ability that God gives, and that choice that an individual makes. So when Jesus is talking about this and talking about the 144,000 here in Revelation 14 that we're reading about, we recognize that these are individuals who have separated themselves from women and said, I am just going to give myself completely to God. And so that kind of fits. They have made that choice for the kingdom of God's sake, the kingdom of heaven's sake. And now we get to three messages from three angels, and I brought illustrations because you just don't like to come to church without illustrations. So I got some of these stainless steel water bottles. I've got three of them because I was thinking, you know, the time of tribulation is so intense and is just so bad that, you know, it's like you're looking for something from God, some kind of refreshing, because it's a dark time in the world. It's a difficult time for the world to be going through. And these three messages from these angels, you know, may not be the most encouraging words that you ever read, but it is a fresh word from God. And for those of you that understand that concept of, you know, hearing from God, and there have been times in your life, I'm sure, when it's like, you know, God, I just really need direction from you. Man, things are really difficult right now, and I just really need you to give me clear direction. And God does that. And so often, that direction that God gives you comes from His Word. And His Word is this refreshing water for our souls. That the times when we're dry, times when we're thirsty, there are times like that, you know it. You come to church, and it's like, man, God has just spoken something just from His Word directly to your heart. And it's like, you know, God is saying, okay, open up. You know, open your mouth and I will fill it. And God just sending that refreshing here. So I want you to think of the messages of these three angels being similar to that. That, you know, here they're going through this difficult, dry time. And they're not hearing from God. They are under the wrath of God. And these three angels have messages that are so important. So let's look at the message from angel number one. Look at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the seas and springs of water. This again reminds you of something Peter wrote, where he said in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Understand that. God does not want anyone to go to hell. Okay? God does not delight in the death of the wicked. In fact, He said exactly that. I have no delight in the death of a wicked person. Okay? And when we talk about hell, hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. We're going to get to that scripture in, probably today or next week. And so we just recognize that this was not God's plan. This was not God's purpose for mankind. And there aren't people that God looks at and says, I want them to go to hell. Okay? He desires everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come to repentance. And people say, okay, well, you know, then why doesn't God send a sign? Look at this sign that He sends here. okay? We have an angel flying in the midst of heaven that has the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, saying, it is time for you to repent. It is time for you to fear God because and worship him who has made the heaven and the earth, because the hour of his judgment has come. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now see, we've always taken that as our responsibility, as our duty. And to some degree it is. Jesus said, you know, go into all the world, make disciples of everyone, you know, teaching them the commandments, teaching them the word of God. We are commanded to do that, the Great Commission. We've been commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And you say, but what about somebody who doesn't know? What about someone that, you know, somebody somewhere that their language is so difficult that they're, you know, having a hard time translating the Bible into their language? Before the end comes, this angel flies around the world preaching the gospel in every language to every person. Okay? Now, this is not some kind of psycho, you know, symbolic, that this is satellite TV. Uh-uh. This is an angel who goes and tells everyone the end is near. And it is time for you to repent. And the world gets the message. That's how concerned God is about mankind. Okay? He's going to make sure before the end comes that everyone gets the message. Look at the angel's message here. Fear God, give glory to him. The hour of his judgment has come, and you need to worship him. Now, I wish that verse 8 wasn't verse 8. I wish there was a verse between verse 7 and verse 8 that said, and when the people heard this, they fell on their knees and called out to God and said, God, forgive us. Okay? But we don't read that. We get immediately to the second message, the second word of God that comes to mankind, verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So this angel comes with this pronouncement regarding Babylon. And Babylon, as you well know, is located in modern-day Iraq. And back in 1983, Saddam Hussein took it upon himself to start rebuilding the city of Babylon on top of the old ruins. So we kind of know where this city is located. In fact, let's talk a little about Babylon itself. Come back with me to Genesis, the 10th chapter. It says in verse 8, Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, which is Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Now look at Genesis 11, verse 4, where man said, come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, you understand that statement right there was in direct conflict with God's will, because this is after the days of Noah, and the last thing God said to Noah and his sons is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Okay? So here we are a couple generations later, and these guys have their hands on their hips saying, we're not going anywhere. We are going to build a tower to heaven, and we are not going to move from this place. We are going to stay right here. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. And again, this unfinished city was really a testimony to rebellion against God. Okay, and that was the original Tower of Babel, the city of Babel. And what happened was because people didn't understand each other, they ended up getting together with people they could understand, and they all moved, and they all scattered. Now, this unfinished city was finally built by Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. The king, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" And so, now people say, okay, now Babylon, is Babylon going to be rebuilt? We don't know. This may be talking about Babylon. It may also be talking about one of the great cities that the Antichrist ends up reigning from, okay? And we're really not sure here. But in that day, they will understand that this city called Babylon, maybe a city that's renamed, or Babylon itself may be rebuilt. We aren't sure here. In fact, in the future chapter, we're going to learn about Mystery Babylon, which is the religious arm of Babylon, that the religion of the Antichrist. But this is a literal city right here. In fact, we're going to learn more about this in future chapters. But the announcement is given right here that this great city, the city of Babylon, has fallen. And then we have the third message, the message from angel number 3, verse 9. "Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and receive and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.'" Now remember last week, I told you this was coming. That this was going to be announced to the world. This, again, is an incredibly important moment, because all of mankind needs to understand that if you take that mark, you are forever lost. And we talked last week about the mark of the beast, the 666, and we talked about the fact that it wasn't just about financial transactions. It was about commitment and submission and worship. Right? We talked about those things. And here we have the third angel that is flying through the midst of heaven, bringing one more message to mankind. When it comes to the mark of the beast, don't do it. Okay? And again, this isn't something that's going to happen by accident. "Well, I don't know what happened. I end up with the mark of the beast." You have to submit to it. So the mark of the beast is not going to be forced on people. It is going to be welcomed by people. So it's not a matter of everyone lining up and you just take the mark and you don't have a choice. You will have a choice. They will not put the mark on an individual. They will kill you. Okay? They may kill you physically for not taking it. But as far as making people take the mark, that's not going to happen. Okay? There is a willfulness. There is an entering in. There is a receiving of the mark that individuals take. And that's why this angel gives this incredibly stern warning. Understand, if you take that mark, you're gone. In fact, look with me at the consequence of accepting and worshiping. First of all, you are under the wrath of God. Secondly, you'll be tormented with fire and brimstone. Third, you'll be separated from God's presence. Fourth, the torment lasts forever and ever. And fifth, there is no rest day or night forever. And it's the source, the truth of these verses that becomes a source of motivation for us regarding people who are lost. I mean, the Bible talks about a literal hell. It talks about eternal separation from God. And that is what motivates us to care about people that don't know Christ, to care about people that are going to be lost. They're going to be lost forever. It's not just a matter of them being directionless in this life or not having a purpose or meaning to this life. It is a matter of them being eternally separated from God with no hope of reconciliation, no hope of getting out of this. And this is not the only place that we learn about the eternalness of hell. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, look at this, prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't ever miss that. Okay? People say, well, yeah, God made hell for man because he wanted to send man there. No. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was the devil and his angels' eternal place of judgment. Nowhere will you ever read that God made hell for man or wants man to go there. That is just not true. This is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the truth that I want you to take more than anything else, more than the angels' messages, okay? And the angels' messages are incredible here because these are audible messages that are given to planet Earth, okay? An audible message of the gospel that you need to repent. A message by an angel talking about the fall of Babylon, and an angel giving the warning to all of mankind, don't do it. Don't take the mark of the beast no matter what. As incredible as that is, this is what I really want you to take with you this week. Punishment and life both have one thing in common. They are both eternal. They both never end. Okay? Separation from God is eternal separation from God. Eternal life that Jesus gives to us is eternal life. Okay? We are forever in the presence of God. We are forever with Him. Both destinies, both destinations are eternal. And that's why, if you're able to share Christ with someone and they open their heart, you have saved, help the Lord to save a hell. A person from being lost in hell forever. You have helped someone to find life eternal. You have changed someone's life, not just for the remainder of their life, but forever and ever. Okay? Punishment and life have one thing in common. They are both eternal. Father, we thank you for your word today, and as we've read through your word, and we've heard these three messages that these angels bring forth. God, those are amazing messages. And it's amazing to think that you love mankind so much, even at the point of mankind's rebellion against you and resistance to you, you still love them so much that you send these three messengers. You send these three angels to let them know that there is eternal life that you have for them. to let them know that they don't need to invest themselves in the kingdoms of this world, because the kingdoms of this world are falling apart. And you've also sent the message, don't take the mark. Don't connect yourself to the Antichrist, to his religion, taking that mark and worshiping him, because you are forever sealing your fate. God, this is an amazing word today, amazing chapter. And I pray, Lord, that as we go today and as we go through this week, that there will be a fresh realization that there are people who are lost that we come in contact with. And they're not just lost for their lives. They are lost forever. God, help us to share a word with them. Help us to have an opportunity to talk to them and to tell them about your love for them and to talk to them about eternal life. God, I just pray today that you will stir in each of us a fresh realization that someone who is lost forever. Lost forever. And God, I know that you don't lay guilt on us. This isn't a matter of you laying guilt on us. It's a matter of us living with the realization of eternal punishment and eternal life. Help us to live with that realization, the realization of eternal. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together today. And let me encourage you. You know, we always have tracts and things on the back table that, and the whole purpose of the tracts are conversation starters. Okay? It's just a conversation starter that someone may say, hey, what's this? Or someone may read that and just ask you a question. It's not a matter of you stopping people on the street and saying, I need to tell you about Jesus, but just planting the seed, just having something that just helps start the conversation. The conversation may not even start right then. The conversation may start next week or next month or next year, but you're planting the seed for a conversation. And you say, but I don't know enough. You know what? God will tell you what you need to know. And you know enough to lead somebody to Christ. You know that mankind has sinned. Every one of us has sinned, right? Every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Eternal separation from God. But God did something. What did he do? He sent his son that we could believe on him and have eternal life. That's it. That is all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Everything I needed to know about leading someone to Christ, I heard from Pastor Ray in 15 seconds. Exactly. That's all you need to know. You have to be a big Bible scholar, okay? If they have questions that are too hard, give them my card. Call Pastor Ray. He has more answers than I have. Okay? I'll make up answers. No problem. If I don't know, I just kind of fake it. No. But just you know, let that burn in your heart, because I really sense that's from God today. And that's God stirring us, saying, okay, you know, look for those opportunities. And again, you don't have to force it on people, but just look for that opportunity. Look for that opportunity to have a conversation. Look for that opportunity to save, to change someone's eternal direction. How important is that? There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important that you can do with your life. And so just, I'm going to pray for you right now that God will just give you and me, just give us opportunities this week. Okay, Father, I just pray for each one here today that you will give us opportunities, Lord. And we may not feel comfortable with it right now. It may be causing our palms to sweat right now as we even think about it. But Lord, I just ask you to direct conversations this week. Direct us to people this week, Lord, that we can talk to about eternal life. And God, you're big enough to kind of work subjects around, and you're big enough to lead people across our paths that maybe normally wouldn't come across our path, so that we can share your truth with them. Lord, it's so easy for us to have the answers when somebody asks the questions. So God, I pray today that you will go with us this week, and that you will just enable conversations to happen, enable questions to be answered. Lord, those people who are hungry and are really desiring to know you, and maybe they've gotten turned off by church and turned off by religion, Lord, just give us opportunities to share with them. Bring them across our path this week. And let us, Lord, be able to share this incredibly simple plan, the plan of salvation, with them. And as incredibly simple as it is incredibly powerful because it changes people's lives forever. Forever. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Larry and Sherry, would you guys mind making yourselves available for prayer today? And if you need prayer before you leave, maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, I'm thinking about my direction. And I'm thinking about the fact that I'm lost. And my lostness is eternal. I want to pray with somebody today. Larry and Sherry are down here for that. They're also down here if you need to be anointed with oil. They are down here just to agree with you. Jesus said, where two or three agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask in my name, it shall be done. And sometimes you just need somebody to agree with you. You know, there's a situation in your life right now. I just need somebody to pray with me and someone to agree with me. That's why we always have someone down here. Okay? You're getting out so early today, so you can come for prayer and not even miss breakfast. How wonderful is that? And I told you earlier, God's going to bless you this week. God's going to bless you because you read the book of Revelation. You heard it read to you today. You have it. The three messages of the angels today. You heard those messages. And the blessing from the book of Numbers says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And as you go through this week, let it be a blessed week. Let it be a peace-filled week because God is with you. The eternal God who has given you eternal life is with you this week. That's cool stuff. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. You are free to go.